more, please visit us online at Oktoberfest.org.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Tribes are assembled well, and even now, Steve Behrman and Trudy are walking in from the West Coast. That's great. I always attribute. So attribution is a wonderful part of ally etiquette, and I do attribute, because it's Steve Behrman who said, the answer to the drug problem? Simple. Improve reality. We go, yes, that's the answer to all problems. That's the all problems. And I've used for decades tantrum yoga. and when people go, what a good phrase, then I go, no, it's from Steve Behrman. Yes, it's true, we could have all thought it up, but he thought it up first. So how wonderful. So, yes, welcome, beautiful Katie Gahn, our wonderful co-collaborator. Yay. So we know that humans have gathered for 25,000 years at Equinox, you know, this powerful form of theater, that we don't source power, we invite it, you know, and so what's going on all around the world around this time, you know, oh, beautiful, literal, and symbolic light of sun, you know, illuminate this writing or this painting at the back of the cave to invite in power and then offer it a template into which to animate. And that's what we're going to do tonight. because the situation is so dire, as we know, we can't afford the luxury of realism. We're inviting the desirable story. So, yeah, I love, you know, sourdough starter, Brer Rabbit begins. There was times when all the critters used to gather to sagacuate, just like there ain't been no hard times, like there ain't been no falling out, like they all remembered they were kin. Yes, even the Donald Trump part of all of us. Okay, we're going to work with that. There we go. So, as we know, America and also the world is having a simultaneous psychotic break renaissance. Take your pick. So we're here to align with renaissance. So I have Muti. Those of you who've been hanging with me for a long time know Muti comes from the Sangomas of South Africa. It means power and medicine. True power is invited in. Again, we don't source it. The modern world has mistaken the toxic mimic of power, dominance. We go, dominance is the toxic mimic of power. Let go of control and invite. You know, we're at this moment of the equinox where Mercury Hermes hands the baton to Venus, the Venus part of all of us that is good at magnetizing and inviting. So I have the Muti for us, which is coyote hair from my friend Stella Coyote, who is very kick butt. She's 18 and a half as a coyote dog, and she sends her regards. I say some humans are trying to be more respectful, and she's like, tell them to hurry up, all right? And I have Artemisia, brought to me by a wonderful friend for the wildness of Artemis, because Venus beauty within us all is strong. And I have tobacco from Syria for when it was once beautiful. May it be so again. And so we go, Muti, O spirit of the compassionate trickster, liberator, within each one of us, awaiting this time of dire beauty, open the path for each one of us that we may cultivate, animate, and contribute our medicine gifts to the community in a way that is replenishing, having the most serious fun possible. As ally, whoops, uh-oh. Is it the Virgin of Venus? Wow. Whoa. Oh. Basket. That's right. It's Spirit Mooty Basketball. Great. Excellent. Nothing can stop us now. That's great. Okay, so we are here, you know, beauty and destruction, neck and neck. I thought it was like Into the Flame, but it's like, no, Into the Venus. That's so charming. God, literally charming. So it's like, so it isn't just us. What a relief. What a relief, you know, that it isn't just us, because it is more than perfect that we humans cannot possibly resolve the innumerable insults we've inflicted on our kin by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. Only by collaborating with everything, really. Magic is a willingness to collaborate with everything. You know, and part of the the psychotic break of colonialism and dominance going down, but taking so much life with it, you know, and Renaissance coming up, you know, is like, oh, there we go. You know, again, it's all, you know, cooperators are standing by. Thank you for always attributing that one. That's mine. right. So, and so we will meet the collaborators, the cooperators who are standing by. But this wonderful word, remember, language grants us access to the realm it describes. If we can speak of it, we can journey there. So the beautiful, previously dissed language of astrology is this exquisite language of our interior psyche and its relationship to the whole large collective dynamic. You know, and, so the more we expand our vocabulary, the more we expand our options. So learning new words is good. We will be repeating the word inaugurate, right? Because when we look things up in a good dictionary, when we take things back, words, it takes us to a more animistic, living, and authentic realm. Like, I love that the word respect means to look at again, again, spect, look. The word privilege means private law. It's like, there we have it. There we go. But so beauty and destruction are neck and neck. You know, we are betting on beauty. It's beauty poker. This came to me from Deborah Falmouth, who lived in Syria until quite recently with her husband Muawiyah. So she's always been great at animating the beauty of the Middle East and how underneath all the turmoil of uninitiated Mars, everything killing itself, underneath is incredible Venus beauty. It's a culture of reciprocal blessing. May it go well for you and for you. You know, the Bedouin greeting, you know, we came upon this Bedouin village in a cold winter. You know, we were the only Westerners, the only car, you know, and Deborah said, just knock on a door, because we wanted to see these beautiful beehive houses that they make for centuries that are ingenious. And I was like, really? You know, just, you know, and she goes, yeah, it's fine. So we knocked on the door. Thank you. We knocked on the door. Oh, beautiful animator of sounds. We're there. And this beautiful Bedouin woman with many children opened the door and looked out warily and then went, strangers, how wonderful. Exactly. You know, the Bedouin greeting is, halu, change your direction and come this way. So part of where we want to language reframe, you know, refugees, you know, into pilgrims. With the Bedouin greeting from that place, you know, strangers show up and you go, oh, you must have seen so much and endured so much. You must have stories to tell, and they must be the stories that we need so much. So we want to do reversal magic. Again, refugees into pilgrims, welcomed from an exquisitely intelligent and beautiful culture. So we know the world's on fire. So let's be the bomb. B-A-L-M. B-A-L-M. There we go. There we go. And, you know, right, you know, it's been challenging in micro and macro ways. You know, we all get snookered. We all fall off our high horse. We all get our goat gotten by small and large things, like being on hold to Comcast, as well as the world on fire, you know, in which we can start yelling, you know, at the recording. My call is not extremely important to you. You know, and yelling at hapless people in call centers in India going, oh, okay. Because our dedication, you know, there are many people here from my Monday Trickster Council and my Wednesday Shift Trickster Council, and we're all working on these things together. And then this apparently is the wildlife in Washington here right now. So these are the esoteric Washingtonians, because we are here for some reason. And, you know, from ancient sourdough starter, District of Columbia is a perfect anagram for I toil bad cosmic turf, using every letter only once. But we know, in fact, that there is much beauty here. Again, if we go deep enough, there's much beauty here. So to cast off the conniption fits and the, you know, of the political season, like, and the genuine harshness and grief of so much that's going on. But remember, you know, doctors who work with trauma say, you know, an animal, say a gazelle in the wild, if it's lucky enough to escape from a pursuing lion, it trembles all over. Wait. It trembles all over. And goes, and metabolizes all the past fear and adrenaline, and then goes back to munching the grass as though nothing had happened. So I think that would be a good thing for us to do right now, to be tremblers, right? Okay, so just... Trembling trumps trauma. There we go. So we have artfully shuddered. You know, and I do, you know, roaming around in notes as they appear going, how surprising. I do like doing hashtag Trumplestiltskin, because, everything's a fairy tale, and we want to again provide, you know, animated metaphors. And so I like Trumplestiltskin because, as we may remember, Rumplestiltskin, you know, is a kind of demonic force. We'll speak more about these things and the model of possession. But he's so frustrated that the young girl heroine has outfoxed him that at the very end of the story he stamps his foot on the podium, possibly on Monday night, and plunges into the underworld. There we go, Trumplestiltskin, to be redeemed in some later Buddhist universe where everybody gets redeemed. Yeah. So we are at this time, you know, this equinox into Libra season. How many Librans here tonight? Yeah, it's your birthday. Yay, Librans who have come to make the world more beautiful. Everybody also very wonderful too. Just for the fun of it, the moon is in her own realm of Cancer now. Ooh. So we love safety and we love risk, you know, and so we all want to be safe enough to take the interesting risks. But how many Cancers here? How many Sun and Cancer? Oh, look. Oh, Cancer boys, that's great. And I love my late great friend Jage Jacobs' astrological quip. He says, a Cancer is just a Scorpio in a housecoat. and it's a good one. It's a good one for people who know astrology, because all signs have their PR. A Libra is just an Aries that's been to charm school is another one. Because we know just what everyone else should be doing. But Cancer's a Scorpio in a housecoat, because all signs have their PR. Like, oh, well, you know, I'm Cancer, I'm very concerned. But it's also just as like, yeah, it's Big Mama. You know, so we're here, the Mars, the Venus, all the planets reside within us. And as we speak of them, you know, regardless of our extremely temporary age, race, and gender assignment, you know, all of the within us. And the word I wanted to bring up several miles back is the word endogenous. I learned it while doing research and hosting on radio show many entheogenic experts or practitioners, really, you could say. I like to call the Visionary Activist Show Democracy Now on Mushrooms. It was Rick Stasser who said, you know, endogenous, like DMT, which is the entheogenic active ingredient in ayahuasca and many things found in many plants, but it's in us. It's in us. We have DMT receptors. All mammals have DMT receptors. We have cannabis, marijuana, receptors in our brain. Again, it can self-generate, but it likes meeting the outer thing, too. So... Everybody, take a 5-minute DMT. There we go. Okay, that's really good. Wow, that was a great ride in the spaceship. We're all back now. Well done. Of course you don't remember. But it was worth the price of the evening and more. Venus is strong, and I do so love the language of astrology, because people talk about men and women and masculine and feminine and, you know, and all of that. But really, an even more liberating way to speak of it is everyone, within everybody, is Venus and Mars. the dance. Mars animates, Venus magnetizes. So Venus invites and magnetizes, Mars animates, and together they spiral it out into the world. And one of the beautiful things of now is that Venus and Mars in the sky, they're sharing harmonious space. They're at a 60-degree creative angle. They're very often in other worlds, you know, one's above, one's below, but they're together. And each night throughout this autumn time that, on which we're embarking, Venus gets higher and higher in the western sky. She's returned from the underworld, and she's the star of peace. So we're here to honor the mythic news, because the muggle news really sucks. So... we go, there's interpenetrating of worlds, and whatever Venus reminds us, whatever we speak to in another person is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves, which is why we want to be discerning and critical and satiric, but not judgy, because when we judge, we're inviting the least evolved part of somebody to dance with the least evolved part of us, and it's just never a pretty dance at all. So to discern, we want spiciness. We do want spiciness. So I love Michael Gruber writes esoteric thrillers, and one of his characters discovers in The Rainforest, to love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before. So we have plenty to work with. So as we're here, we're inaugurating a guiding story. We're electing flora, fauna. I like a listener to the radio show said she was getting all grumpy about the 1%, and then she said she realized as a species, we're the 1%. You know? And we go, ooh, anything that's anywhere is everywhere. It's like late great feminist Moroccan woman Fatima Mernizi said, we were talking, and I just learned that she's an ancestor, and we go, she was wonderful. We were talking about anything that's anywhere is everywhere. And so she said, the burqa in America is size 6. We go, ooh, that's fun. Right? It looks different, but it's just as policey. Inaugurating a guiding story, electing flora, fauna. Yes, I had bumper sticker made. I have flora, fauna 2016 on my car, that was to replace the bumper sticker I reluctantly took down, which was ISIS, ISIS, rah, rah, rah. Mythologically illiterate Americans, with little humor. They were like, why are you supporting terrorism? Oh, okay, I'll take it down for now, but it's going back next year. It is perfect, you know, all here, let's say everybody here is a perfect agent of the liberating trickster. And remember, the Venus-Mars combo trickster-hero, different from just the guy or just the woman, the combination, the Venusian-Mars trickster within us all, born now and sauntering out into the world, you know, is it loves against all odds. You know, loves the capacity to navigate in increased serendipity and synchronicity. The more we wonder and clarify what we're dedicated to, the more we magnetize the path unfurling for that. So we go, the Venusian Mars trickster redeemer is the woman storyteller who's interested, like Inanna, in liberating women, liberating the land, liberating men, liberating even the tyrant who has hardened his heart. We'll get to the fantastic TV show Brain Dead and many other things. Anybody here watch Brain Dead? Yes, all right, a few. I really recommend it. It's not for the likes of everybody. I did post it on the Trickster Shift page, and people were like, ew. But I think everything sacred and not sacred is liberated by satire. I think everything sacred should have an episode of South Park made about it, just to keep it honest. But Brain Dead was so good that it doesn't have a season 2 yet, and it's like, oh no, don't leave us now. But when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, I don't know, and then of course it was great. But the premise, which doesn't sound attractive at first, is insects from outer space are eating politicians' brains. And you go, oh, but it's true. And And it was so good as a metaphor because the insects, they kind of cohabit and take over people's brains, and they skewer everybody because a symptom of being possessed is that you have a sudden interest in green smoothies. It's like, get everybody. But the insects thrive on conflict. They thrive on polarity and conflict. So it's very witty what they do, and it's very pertinent to our discourse, because lots of different people get taken over, not the heroes or heroines, and many, I won't spoiler because I do recommend it, but whoever gets taken off over, even the most peaceful of vegans, becomes kind of violent. And so there's a great moment where an NPR supporter gets taken over by the insects, and he goes, oh, if the National Endowment for the Arts, you know, doesn't fund NPR, then we won't have Antique Roadshow. I will kill you. Anyway, so it's very adorable that way. And to be liberated also, it does end by saying it turns out that politicians really do only need half a brain. But it's a wonderful metaphor for all of us, you know, to gather woof now and protection, that we not get snookered into polarity. In fact, that our desire to not be hoodwinked and bamboozled does not lead us into being bamboozled and hoodwinked. Because I did go on your behalf to Cleveland and the Republican convention, and to Philadelphia and the Democratic convention on your behalf, and it was really trippy. But I've come back. I've survived the journey to the underworld, at both underworlds, and come back to report. We do need our tricksters, and that idea of polarity. In both places, there was tremendous hatred of Hillary, equal, like, and so we go discernment, holding people accountable, knowing deep, dark things, yes, but hatred, no, into the cauldron, and that kind of polarity. I even had my very own Secret Service guy escort me out when I was decredentials at the Democratic convention. But we had a good time, and he's like, it's the DNC's party. They're very thin-skinned. I go, yeah. And I said, I refused to be called an elder and shake my cane at these young people. But I'm willing to be a maven, you know, and the Secret Service guy kind of chortled. And I said, you know, there are quite loving people as well on the streets, and he's like, not in the first three rows, which was true, because I go, well, you know, for a lot of people this is their first rodeo, and they were like, but then there was beautiful Ken, who is this very hip black guy, Free Hugs, who is so authentic that everyone, including the cops, just melts in his arms. They just go, oh, and he goes, oh, you were once a little boy, it's all right. And then I loved also seeing the hip black guy with the cap that said, great again for whom? And I go, oh, thank you so much for doing the grammatically correct whom. You know, and he said, yeah, I had great again for who, and it bothered me so much I had all the hats remade for whom. I go, oh, beautiful, very beautiful. And a little shout out to Vermin Supreme. Do people know who Vermin Supreme is? He was my radio guest that got me kicked out of the Democratic convention, but he's been running as a satirical presidential candidate since before 1980. But I read this great article about what he did in Cleveland. There was an article that said there was no violence in Cleveland due to this clown. Seriously. There was no violence anywhere, in fact. Everybody, you know, there was, but no violence. But what was great was in Cleveland, you know, there was protesters in Marmona, and the cops were on bicycles, you know, kind of circling them in. And he said, the first thing you got to do on the street is disrupt fear. Right? Because fear plays to tyranny right away. So he took his megaphone and he shouted to the cops, going, remember to do it like we rehearsed it, boys. You know? Just because it's scrambled, like, what? And then he began pointing, going, oh, the cops on the right on your bicycles, you're not in very even rows. This team's doing much better. And they actually was like, they were in a different story. Now they were in a different story. Now they were back in fifth grade, like, oh, okay. And then, you know, the hateful Baptist church, what is it?
Westport. Westboro.
Westboro Baptist Church was there, right? And they were like, you know, death to pedophiles and sodomists and drug addicts and whatever. And Vermin says, those are my voters. Yeah. And that cracks the cops up, too. And then at some point when it was very tense, he got all the demonstrators to shout, to chant, give the cops a raise. Give the cops a raise. And it's like, whoa. So remember, there's no, in our magic backpacks, we're expanding our repertoire of disruption, positive disruption, you know, to change the story, to change the dynamic so that we all spiral out of here as agents of positive disruption. Because right now, you know, what's rising in the East is Uranus the trickster. I will speak astrology, but I will translate it. And Uranus right now is, lined up with an actual planet called Eris, the goddess of disruption, which is way out in the Kuiper Belt, moves very, very slowly at 23 Aries. So Eris, the goddess of disruption, was stationing during both conventions. And so we want to play with everything. Where do we want disruption? What do we want disrupted? And the Uranus trickster within us all knows there's no prison for the unexpected. Just change the story. No, so we do say the world needs its tricksters, again, more than ever, dedicated to being agents of liberating blessing. That's our, you know, may our manner of relating in thinking, doing, speaking be fundamentally about liberating blessing. It's a really good vow. We blow it. Everybody blows it in fairy tales going, oh, I wasn't very polite to Comcast, you know, but neither were they. But, you know, may it go well for you. And may you find a better job in India, you know, or... coyote, we call trickster really, it's nature's evolutionary genius that we see in coyote and raven and seeds that sprout after cataclysm. You know, it's also jaunty detectives. As many of you know, I love myths, big themes, mythic figures, metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature, fairy tales, more local, customized, but it's how cultures passed on their science symbolically encoded in the fairy tale, all these things that have been dissed, going, and then we have detective novels and crime fiction. Very old, goes back to 231 BC. But it's the same metaphor of going to the underworld. Yes, we go to the underworld. The detective part of all of us journeys to the underworld. It's more fun with a buddy. with whom to be jaunty and wisecracking back and forth. Exactly, we go to the underworld. So the detective, what it says in 231 BC, it says, the purpose of the detective, that's in all of us, is to descend into the underworld in order to restore human affairs to be in accord with the mandate of heaven and earth, on earth as it is in heaven. True without falsehood, certain and most true, that which is above is as that which is below, and that which is below is as that which is above, for the performance of the miracles of the one thing. And Venus, yeah, that's good. Venus has just returned as the evening star from the arduous underworld. She was gone all summer. And the Venus, the Inanna myth, is the Venus astronomical orbital cycle. Again, all myths contain science. So Venus would be the morning star. In Mesoamerica, it's Quetzalcoatl. And then gets so close to the sun that she or he disappears, you know, and then reemerge as the evening star. And even though many of you know this myth, it's happy to be retold and animated right now. Because when Venus, so in the West, it's Venus, Inanna, and so when she returns, being kind of a Libran, she lounges around going, that was really intense. And then the poetry from 4,500 years ago in Sumer is very trippy. It says one day Inanna's lounging around. She's already sent. The deal is that she can come back as long as she sends down a replacement. And when she emerges, everybody was worried about her, except for her boyfriend, Dimuzi. And she goes, you did not rise from your throne. You did not take off your fine clothes. And I have to send down a replacement. So then back to her lounging around going, oh, who needs a man? And it says one day she's contemplating the wonders of her own vulva going, oh, it is so great to be a sexy woman. And the idea occurs to her, lightning strikes. She goes, I know. for my overland adventure, which is beginning now, I will go and rescue human culture that has been kidnapped by Enki, the god of wisdom, who's become a tyrant. So it's very hip of the Sumerians to remind us that anything, anyone unchallenged will become a tyrant, you know, even the god of wisdom, Harvard, you know, whatever, Freudian, anyway, you get the drift. So being a woman hero, she gets her best friend, and they set forth and they sail to Enki's island, and being a woman hero, she doesn't go grr, she gets him drunk on beauty and poetry. And as he gets drunk on beauty and poetry, he gives back to her what he's stolen, these parts of human culture called Mies. And he gives first the erotic arts. He said, I give back to you the erotic arts, the lead aspect of culture, apparently. And she goes, I take that. And then comes science and astronomy, astrology and real estate and, I mean, everything. And she puts them all in her boat. And she sets sail. And they're moving again from a different, an overland kind of, overland underworld kind of a thing. And they set forth all really delighted. And Enki wakes up in the morning and says to his assistant, what happened to human culture? And his assistant says, you got drunk. You got out drunk. And there's Inanna in her little coracle with her best friend on the horizon. So he does send demons. Demons. He does send demons after her. But she's so pumped up with friendship and success and joy that she fends them off with alacrity. And that's how Venus Inanna brings human culture back to humans, and then they can have a wise renaissance of cooperating with nature's genius. And so that's where we are now. That's the Venus cycle. So against all odds, no matter what, you know, if the Muggle news reads bad, we go, there's many, many layers and many layers of influence as well. So Venus is back, and so is human culture. So there are many forms of cahooting, you know, that our language be in accord, our language, our story, and our metaphor be in accord with our dedicated heart. You know, I've been on my own. We don't want to use war metaphors, really. I can't say crusade. Don't want to say jihad. Anyway, I've been on my own campaign. My campaign, you know, because so many people use the word impact. And I go, really, a short, violent encounter? You know? Ally David Grimes helps. He said, just put a hyphen there, because then it's impact. And I go, oh, much better. Much better. That's right. We want an impact. So that's good. Exactly. So I love that... Destiny has arranged us all here. You know, why are we in Washington inching the ring of power into the crack of doom, where apparently Sauron is endorsing all candidates? Sauron endorsement came in. He's backing everybody. So we do want to be, we are magnetizing music and metaphor into matter. We say the protoplasm, it's very shape-shifty. So when progressive team or whatever, are like, blah, 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 blah. I love Esther Hicks as the channel that I love, channeling Abraham or whatever she's doing. But she says, you know, you don't want to keep banging the drum of what is. Dum, dum, dum. Right, because that's just Mars. Like, it is, you know, it sucks that politicians are corrupt. And it's like, yeah, we know that. We know that. But so it's critique and then collaborative blessing against all odds, inviting in the blessing. And what Americans could use so much from underneath the Middle East is the art form of blessing. You know, so we do love that. So we are here stepping into, at the equinox, equal night and day, stepping into the center of the storm. So we're not whacked around the edges. You know, we convene to gather our woof at this whack-doodle conundrum election thing. I love Terry Pratchett says, you know, we're, you know, this little circle of firelight we call the physical world, surrounded by vast, spooky darkness of spirits and ancestors and demons and ghosts and fairy tales. So here we are at this little circle of firelight. You know, and I like, you know, in all the trickster groups that I'm convening and then also on out to all of us, I'd like us all to imagine and take away the screenwriter's hut. And this came from conversation with a great ally, and she was getting all strident about Hillary, which is can happen, going, and she gave this lecture on American exceptionalism, and I go, yeah, that's just like third graders at recess. We're the best. We're the best. And it's like, and she goes, oh, and she just believes it. And I go, I don't think she believes it. Yeah. I want to animate, you know, an expanded story. And my friend got very kind of, and I go, see, people who love Hillary and people who hate Hillary get possessed by a kind of spiky, strident polarity thing. And she goes, oh, got me. And then she said, because she grew up in Hollywood, she said, well, then, let's convene the Screenwriter's Hut. The Screenwriter's Hut was like 1930s, 1940s. It was on the movie studio lot, right? It was Aldous Huxley and all these writers, you know, in fedoras, smoking, you know. And I go, well, let's all be there now at the Screenwriter's Hut. And it's not just humans. There's wolves and things and spirits and ancestors all around in the dark. So let's write the desirable story, you know, and write the unexpected things we might want to come out. You know, we're all script writers for Braindead, you know, in some way. And we get to kind of, you know, it's the fire circle into the Screenwriter's Hut, into the Asclepion, which were cultural centers that really existed of intentional dreaming, healing, and theater. So we go, we've got a fire circle, a Screenwriter's Hut, and Asclepion, you know, again, syncretizing. And it moves us to one of the great realms of influence, the backstage realm of cultural influence. It's said that the purpose of ritual magic was to spiral into group human mind, expanded wisdom and tolerance. So the one zone of influence is to create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. Like friends of mine, whose lives were saved by Obamacare, actually met with Obama. He invited them, my woman friend and her gay now wife, and they hung out with him. And he said, yeah, sorry about being so long on approving gay marriage, but, you know, once the population went to 51% approval, I can do that. And so it throws it back to us. We want to make sanity 51%, right? You know, and if expediency is Hillary Clinton's flaw, then let it be our strategic assignment. Let's make the good expedient. We're electing a story. Inaugurating comes from the augur, who would walk out into nature and observe nature's pattern, whereby nature would reveal the responsible human, and then they would be inaugurated. That's what the word means. But this model of, you know, if we see, like in Cleveland, well, in many places and in the news, the worst part of humans being invited into this horrific thing, then it's our task to invite the best of humans, to invite that and magnetize that. And I've been practicing. I've been talking to right-wingers in Cleveland and you know, to find a point where you could agree on and step into the center and then move out. But with respect and humor, because, you know, different people are surprised, and it liberates parts of them when we do not meet them with, yeah. So I did have a good time with a delegate from Mississippi who was a little too flirty, but very, very Baptist and going on about, you know, things. And I go, well, I have some quotes here. Let me read them to you, and you tell me which is Trump and which is ISIS or Daesh. He goes, okay. I don't have it, but they were pretty good. And I go, you know, we must come together to, because the world is corrupt and we will make, you know, this great again. And he goes, that's Trump. I go, that's Daesh. And he goes, and he laughed, right? He's like, ooh, got me. Right? So laughter. And I would also start with the Trump people going, let's agree about something. You know, everyone wants to know how they're being conned, right? And they're like, yeah. So then we go into the toxic mimic and the con is that which imprisons, and, you know, and the liberating trick is that which liberates. But as we look at the incredible pandemic of police violence, we go, wow, the police should be charged with possession, not of a substance, but being possessed. Mm-hmm. Being possessed by a hateful, you know, primitive, hot reaction thing. And so then our task is to change the entire atmosphere. Like when I was driving to Cleveland, I had to leave the highway to avoid, you know, a standstill traffic thing, and went way off into the hinterlands and came to a deli run by, you know, a lovely right-wing woman, very clear, and her right-wing daughters. And we had a good time, and right-wing family comes in going, love your hair. Again, see, if things are playful, they open things up. And they're like, oh, and we were conversing and kind of getting somewhere. And then she said, Obama, he just made all the black people hate the white people. And I said, we've been getting on so well until now. Let's go somewhere else, over here. There we go, over there. And I go, did you see the Black Lives Matter people in Dallas, you know, where there was, you know, white power guys, you know, and a police guy, and the Black Lives Matter people were so authentic that they all began to hug, even with the white supremacists, and the cop joined in and melted. And the woman said, the right-wing woman said, I saw that. That was beautiful. Right? And so, oh, many things, many things. So, so there's just some things wanted to come along, because they're so fun, and remind us of the trickiness of now and what qualities do we want to cultivate, to best navigate now. And this is just a short piece by William Kittredge about a raven rattle. And he says, sometime in the early 1880s, a medical doctor, superintendent for Indian affairs, collected a raven rattle from the Tsimshian Indians. It's a percussive musical instrument used in elaborate ceremonial dances, a simple rattle like the ones we all shook in childhood. Think of that. Yeah, that we give babies rattles to start their shamanic training early, going, you know, a trance. You know, it's like a Native American woman in the Midwest said, do you know Cat's Cradle, the string game? And I was like, yeah. And she said, it's how we taught our young people to enter into the dream world, right, that focused reverie. And then I was in New Zealand, and a Maori woman said, do you know Cat's Cradle? I was like, yes. And she goes, it's how we taught our children to enter the dream world. I go, oh, that's great. So we have rattles. And then Kittredge, back to Kittredge, he says, except that this one is carved into the form of a mythological raven caught in the act of stealing the sun back from captivity, carrying the little red ball of the sun in his mouth, preparing to spit it home into the heavens again. Remember, the trickster, you know, again, like Inanna, rescues human cultures, steals the sun back. That's a striking idea, says Kittredge, but not half so remarkable as the beings we see riding on the raven, a human figure reclining back in a posture of sexual openness, kind of like an Inanna, and a frog crouching over as if preparing to mount, and their tongues, or tongue, red and slender and arcing. It's a single tongue and a most remarkable thing as it reaches from human to frog and frog to human. It's all the same in this vision, in which we share tongues with the animals in some perfect sexuality, while our trickster raven redeploys the sun, as in raven brought the light. The unknown person who made that rattle is a glory to our species. See, that raven rattle says, this is how we are, inextricably one with everything, however tricked, riding, in fact, on the back of trickiness itself. So I think that's good campaign coverage. So disruption, positive disruption, you know, words that we imbue, you know, and the capacity to change the story. Oh, yeah, so no prison for the unexpected, which is why we want our language to be surprising. You know, when I'm at right-wing conventions or whatever, and they go, who are you? And I go, I'm Coyote Network News. I'm a mythological news service for the trickster redeemer within us all. And they go, oh, that is so cool. Anyway, see, if I said I'm an angry vegan feminist, you know, it's like, no, I heard it, you know. See, and I like also playing. It's like, you know, to the uninitiated Mars, you know, hyper-yang death frenzy sweeping the world that wants to be initiated by Venus. You know, we go, no, it's not 144 virgins. It's 144 angry vegans that you're going to be met with. Nothing more angry than an aroused vegan when coming at you with a coming at you with a rolling pin. So, You know, it's also how do we liberate ourselves, and see the essence of initiation that our human society has forgotten to do, to initiate Mars, meaning veterans, young people, Mars, what is hero? You know, we don't do that. The essence of it was an invitation. We need you. We need you to help build Stonehenge. We need you to animate the desirable story. Here we're going to do this thing. Now, see, ISIS, I call it that, but it's really Daesh, of course. There was a reporter reporting on it saying, you know, their recruiting is so joyful. And the interviewer was, what do you mean? And he says, well, you know, you join ISIS, Daesh, you get health insurance, you get a salary, your family's taken care of, and you have a noble, I mean, a toxic mimic of a noble purpose. Come, you know, and what everybody wants is a mission. So wherever we see toxicity in the world, we want to step in with the real thing. Come, we need everybody, you know, to animate the guiding story of a rising renaissance of ingenuity, of cooperating with nature, you know, to compost colonialism in all of its sneaky forms. We need you. We need you. You know, and that's the initiation of Mars in all of us. So we say, well, you know, who brought what to this party? And a lot of it does come from difficult things. You know, I've been at many gatherings of, you know, important people working on themselves and everything. But so often people would just say, my trauma. And some people were like, I don't even remember what my trauma is, but I know I have one. It's the credential for getting in here. And I go, well, how about, you know, next time you're tempted to use the word trauma, you just replace it with the phrase, my dangerous, beautiful assignment. And it's very interesting what happens to that. And some people were like, no, I like trauma. But they came back and they were like, I tried that last night and it changed the whole dynamic. You know, it's what if as a metaphor, you know, each one of us before birth said, land me in circumstances where I will learn everything that needs healing in the world. And the backstage God's go, we have the family for you. Here you go. You know, it's an assignment. It's an assignment. And, you know, I was saying this at a talk in Bolinas in California, and people were asking in the audience, like, what about this? And you know, how does that work? But then, you know, synchronicity, this embodied thing happened. This wonderful woman, I didn't recognize at first, came up, and she said, I have a present for you from your dangerous, beautiful assignment. Some people were like, well, how does the dangerous, beautiful assignment, how does that work? And so this woman came up and said, you know, I have a present for you. It was actually quite a lot of weed. From your dangerous, beautiful assignment. And she reminded me, she said, your dangerous, beautiful assignment is 16 now. And what it was the saddest thing ever in my life was to have a baby who died right as he was being born. And so 16 years ago, I was at my friend's house, and that weekend her son and daughter-in-law were due to give birth. And as it proceeded, it was very like what happened to me in very great details. And so I approached the parents and I said, I don't want to spook anybody, but this is how this came down for me. You know, and the midwives, like with me, were overconfident, and they were talking the parents down, going, no, you don't need to go to the hospital. And I just said finally to them, I go, you're a couple hours away. I really think you should go. And that's what they wanted to do. And they're like, poof. And they arrived at the hospital just in time to unwrap the cord from the baby's neck so he lived, right? So that's, again, trauma. All the things we've been through, you know, may it open a path for us to save someone or contribute to somebody. You know, it is a dangerous, beautiful assignment. So we do love that. So we carry with us, you know, dangerous, beautiful assignment. We're all here. And part of the beauty of now says, you know, think of our whole journey, you know, that we've been on since we were born. And what are the difficult things? But where's the medicine that we brewed from that? You know, remember, like, you know, in South Africa, you know, Nelson Mandela emerging not bitter from 27 years on Robben Island. And friends of mine there said, you know, the miracle of Nelson emerging not bitter was an incredible medicine. He had every reason to be bitter, and he chose and practiced not to. We go, the most liberating medicine in the world. Now, we all blow it, you know, everywhere. In South Africa, you know, we meet people who have every reason to be bitter, and who are. Understandable. But again, here comes the trickster, the choice. You know, and Uranus trickster says to each one of us, we are big gods. We don't really care what you do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it be from freedom and choice. So one can choose to be angry or choose to be serene, but it's a choice as opposed to a reaction. You know, a reaction is a hot, imprisoning thing for self and others. A response is to ally ourselves with nature's evolutionary ingenuity. So we do love that. And then to discern, you know, there's the con man and the trick. The con imprisons, right? And there are mass cons everywhere, you know. But I do love in the chart of the actual equinox, which was on Thursday, Venus was rising at 28 plus Libra. There's images, metaphors for each degree of the zodiac, and the image for Venus presiding over this whole, you know, inside and outside, this whole season that we're embarking on now, the image for Venus is men toiling in a dark pit. A woman calmly lowers a rope, going, "Oh, yoo-hoo, oh, boys, you know, here's a rope. I got stuff to do. I'll just tie it to a tree. There you go." You know, and Venus now is in Scorpio, right? Venus is in Mars's sign. Again, the dance of Venus and Mars equally within us all. You know, is it equal Venus-Mars? So it's also, we all have a Venus-Mars-o-meter, too. You know, and it's like a lot of DJs and festivals and stuff. You know, some of it's pretty good, but some of it is really like doom, 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 doom. We go, whoa, way too much Mars. You know, where's the beat is supposed to support the lyrical yearning melody to rise from it, like whoa, in Middle Eastern music, or you know, the chanting or the whatever. Again, the equal Venus Mars dynamic. Now Venus tonight, as we're convening, has many quintiles, the art of navigating the underworld. And quintile is just a 72-degree angle. We love 72-degree angles. It's what we get when you divide the circle by five. Five is sacred to Venus. Venus forms a five-petaled orbital design in the sky over 8 years. And so it says, just speaking it, makes it available to everybody to carry with you in your magic backpacks out into the world. It is irresistible eloquence to be responsive in a liberating fashion, even under the hottest of circumstances. And that's a gift being generously proffered to us. So there's a whole bunch of quintiles. The moon quintiles Jupiter. Moon in Cancer going, "Big Mama, all life deserves safety and protection." You know, and we want to reinvent many things. Also Jupiter, Jupiter in storytelling in Libra, quintile the moon, stories of kinship, stories of kinship, stories of against all odds, kinship, you know, trumping, to love disharmony, back into harmony, creates a greater harmony. Where do we want disruption? You know, when somebody a year or more ago was saying to me at a fair, like, "Oh, what about, you know, terrible economic collapse, you know, in September?" And I go, well, that's kind of, you know, Ron Paul's scam from selling gold. But are we not alchemists and magicians? Where do we want economic collapse? You know, polluting industries, economic, who's a good economic collapse? Yes, you are, over here to the polluting industries. There you go, your little good economic collapse. And that's what happened, you know, and that's a strategy. Shell withdrew from the Arctic drilling because it was too expensive, and their board of directors was like, not enough money. So let's make all bad projects not dedicated to collective good too expensive. That's where we want to guide the disruption. And just for the sweet improv of it all, the front row doesn't, but you can just fake it. But people have, I think there's little books right here, right? We're in this very adorable spiritual church, so turn to number 35, please, for call and response. It's very darling. And again, the front row can fake it if they don't have it. But it's a poem by Rabindranath Tagore. Just let me know when you're at, let me know when you're at page 243. Page 243. Oh, right. Page 243. Page 243. Yeah, no, forget the hymn. No, it's not really a hymn. It's R35. It's page 243. Are we kind of there? Okay, so I'll say it, and then you do the response. So it's Rabindranath Tagore. "Today the peace of autumn pervades the world. The moon, silent and motionless, the wide stillness rests like a tired bird, spreading over the deserted fields to all horizons its wings of golden green. Today the river flows without song, leaving no mark on its sandy banks. The many distant villages bask in the sun with eyes closed in idle and languid slumber. In stillness, And the wolves are chiming in. Never mind that. Okay, all right. In every speck of dust, wolves. In every part of my own body, in the visible and invisible worlds. Planets, the sun, and the stars. The joyous dance of the atoms through endless time. See, you've all been to church now. Isn't it cute? So, we love words and invocation and prayer. You know, protoplasm of reality, especially receptive to imaginative imprint right now. You know, so, you know, everything that we speak, think, do, write, we sketch the screenwriter's hut in our journals and animate it in our minds. You know, again, the scripts that we want to pour forth against all odds. Trickster likes against all odds. And so I love also sometimes just changing one word. You know, people often say speak truth to power, but it's still a little polarizing, unworked out issues with daddy and authority. If you just change it to speak truth, be power, then it's like, poof. You know, and it's again, you know, the chant, like, you know, what do we want? Better chance. When do we want it now? you know, what are we creating? What are we creating? Peace. When are we creating it now? Why wait? Why supplicate? You know, invoke. We say, why supplicate when you can invoke? You know, it's again, John Michael Greer, great learned druid, says, if you want people to get nothing done but hot conflict in an already overheated world, convince people they're on one side of something, and you will only get heat. And to be snookered into polarity is to inadvertently serve tyrannical overlords. Bless their hearts, right? You know, and so what John Michael Greer says is what two needs is three, which is the unifying story. And so Jupiter, again, the power of the unifying story, it says, you know, within all of us is this eloquence that we can take away and practice and invite in. You know, it's the capacity to enter into hot situations as an agent of cool response rather than caught up in the polarity. May we all be, you know, ambassadors of trickster liberator, you know, entering hot circumstances as agents of cool, hot reactive circumstances, agents of cool response. So, oh. Yes, and you will hear that soundtrack whenever you enter a hot situation going, one, 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 one. That's good. That's great. Remember the sacred teachings of Star Trek. You know. That reminds me one of the great episodes was when the spirit that thrives on fear, right? This is very important campaign coverage. The spirit that thrives on fear takes over the ship and Enterprise. So what does Captain Kirk do? He gets everybody stoned, right? So when the voice is like, you're all going to die, the crew members are like, this guy sure is gloomy. Right? And they starve fear. And fear goes, you know, and that's a more campaign navigational strategy. We want to do that. So let's also, you know, dedicate now to being public dreamers, artists of the atmosphere, you know, in cahoots. There's wonderful examples of that, and even, you know, a wonderful person arriving at my house with an herbal friend last night, and Canadian young man, Colin Wright, herbalist, really hip guy and everything, and he said, I've been dreaming a lot lately, which is available, and he said, I have to set this up. He said, because I don't like Hillary. She gives me conniption fits. But I had this dream in which we were having tea, and she was really, really likable. And we were having a great time. And then right to the left of where we were seated, you know, we both wafted our arms this way, and this fantastic river began running clean, and it came in and surrounded us. And I woke up and thought, wow. And I go, what a great dream, right? Again, people operate in the dream world. You know, Obama shows up in all kinds of dreams, and when people were so grumpy about, you know, and churlish really about Obama, yes, there are things to critique, but also incredibly one, you know, discourage the bad, encourage the good. Yes, yo team, this is Caroline chiming in. Encourage the good, discourage the bad, encourage, feeding the heart of the good. And we do remember, magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything, not condone, no, but especially at this complex time. Woo! And here we are at the dark of the moon, new moon on Friday tomorrow, in Libra, which is really where the dynamism of this season, you know, woofs forward. So, yes, we are inaugurating a guiding story. Everybody, you know, compost, you know, vitriolic, conniption fits, There we go. We're, you know, regardless of where we are, we're inaugurating a guiding story. Yes. And so to hear the rest of this Equinox address, this guiding story, you can go to coyotenetworknews.com. That's coyotenetworknews.com and download, for a small fee, the complete Equinox dynamic. Woof, woof, woof. And we will reconvene next week.
Have you ever considered producing a community radio show? If that's the case, please pay attention. The Pacifica National Board has approved a motion to implement 5 new hours of programming in Spanish per week at every station of Pacifica, which includes Houston, Los Angeles, Berkeley, Washington, D.C., and New York. If you or someone you know is interested, please send us an email to programacion-espanol@pacifica.org or visit your local Pacifica radio website. Pacifica speaks Spanish.
Author, reporter, progressive minister, radical activist, and heroic social gadfly, Chris Hedges is coming to Berkeley with his challenging new book, Unspeakable.